for the Luther Canon Express, loading at gate number 5, heading to revelation, understanding, wisdom, knowledge in 5 minutes. All aboard!
Welcome back, everyone. This is Luther Cannon at the Luther Cannon Institute of Reformational Theology, preparing a generation of Christians for our final debut on planet Earth. Yes, you got it. Our final debut, the reconciliation of all things to Jesus Christ, ushering in his final coming, the closing of the final age of mankind, and the restoration of all things spoken of in the book of Acts. So did you jump on the train? Well, I hope so. It's a free ticket. And where are you going to find a deal like that? I don't know. We're going down the tracks here, far above church stuck-in-the-mud chit-chat, conventional thinking, status quo arguments, typical pulpit rhetoric and charisma, conventional poppycock, rudimentary platitudes of one sort or another. Come on, people. We're called to think outside the box. Leave that envelope of articulation that sounds so good but says nothing. You know what I mean. You sit there and listen, and listen, and listen to people who are really adept at putting words together in interesting ways, but don't really say anything. The same boring concepts you've heard 1,000 times before, just rewrapped with fresh ribbon and interesting paper. You go out wondering what was really said. I mean, you sat there and listened, right? But nothing changes, and you can't really remember any of it anyway. It's like William Shakespeare's statement, quote, "A tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." And everyone said amen. Folks, that's not God's will. Jesus died for infinitely more than that. The heavens are holding back truckloads of revelation, ready to be revealed to a generation that actually cares to find it. And we care to find it here. Oh, yes, we do. So stay on the train. Here we go.
And now, Mr. Luther Cannon.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. What's that? Yep, I know. Well, we're going to get it figured out. Or put it this way, we're going to have to get it figured out. Be with you in just a minute, everyone. Okay, so where are we going to go today? Well, let's get this out at the get-go. I'm going to be saying some things on today's broadcast that are probably going to be difficult for many of you out there in listener land to hear. Well, hey, guess what? They were a bit difficult for me, too, when my eyes were first opened to these things. But you know what? This won't be complicated. That's not the issue. The issue is, can we handle it? Can we accept it? Can we make room for it in our thinking and especially in our understanding of Jesus? The truths that govern the kingdom typically are not rocket science. They don't require high IQ. They require something that far too many big IQ people don't have. They require openness, humility, passion for truth in Jesus. People who lack those qualities typically reject most of the help God wants to give them. You know why? Because they look at it as a threat rather than a help. Why do they look at it as a threat? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it really isn't that hard to figure out. They look at it as a threat because they've already made up their minds and they don't want to change. They have their nice little religious world all figured out. They have the name of Jesus stamped across the face of it, and they don't want anyone interfering with it, okay, bub? Oh my, do they not want anyone interfering with it. But that's not you, dear listener. At least I hope not. Rare, rare, rare is the individual who is vulnerable, open to change, and just wants to please the Lord and not themselves. I said rare. Is that individual. So many people, so-called Christians, have no trespassing signs all around their hearts, areas that were never turned over to the Lord. Jesus was never allowed to lay claim to those areas, and the chances are high. He may never. Okay, back to what I was saying. I mentioned that I will be saying some things in this broadcast that may be difficult to hear, but you know what? Whether people hear them or not, they're going to be coming to pass. Our times are requiring them to come in and make the church what it needs to be for the hour we've been tossed into. We are going to be required to go there to be able to stand in the days that we've been thrust into. Did you hear me on that? I'm not pitching dimes here. I'm pitching gold bars. The days that are upon us are no longer about status quo. I said the days that are upon us are no longer about status quo. We have moved into very different, very difficult times. And you know, my dear saint, or soon to become saint, you have been born into this amazing hour. And my, oh my, are you fortunate. Oh, yes, you are. Most people in this hour don't understand the privilege being extended to us. Or on the other hand, the incredible jeopardy. The Apostle Paul describes it this way. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And all the scriptures I'm going to be referring to will either be out of the New King James Version or the New American Standard Version. He says this, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And from such people, turn away." That is where we are. And there is a massive change coming, ladies and gentlemen, fellas and fellers. The things that I am saying are soon going to be shouted from the rooftops. So that said, firstly, let me say this. God's people need to come back into covenant. We have drifted light years from the covenant that we have been called into through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am guessing that many of you out there are scratching your heads wondering what in the world I mean by that. I could charge $1 million for what I'm about to say, and it still wouldn't be enough. Because you know what? Jesus already paid for it. And the price he paid is worth far more than money can ever touch. So put your ears close to your computer or whatever device you're using, and please try to hear me on this. People wonder why we rarely see the things we read about in the New Testament, especially the book of Acts. Well, here's the answer. We've left the New Testament, the New Covenant. All our divisions and walls have blinded us to that fact, and you're not going to find anyone promoting those walls who will be able to tell you these things. Am I tooting my horn here? I'm just stating fact. Let me develop this a little bit. We are now 500 years removed from the second greatest departure from the New Testament covenant Jesus shed his blood for. And we are so steeped in that departure at this point that I am looked upon as some kind of a nutcake to say it. But I did say it. And I meant it 100,000%. When apostolically led Christianity founded by Jesus left the first century and moved into the second, third, fourth, and on, every major New Testament or covenant truth was overturned and corrupted to support and promote the most massive apostasy imaginable, which took the final form of Roman Catholicism. Now, don't write me off, Catholics. I'm not done yet. We're going to get to the Protestants, too. I've got a whole lot more to say, so please stay open and hear me out. The Apostle Paul warned about this near the end of his ministry. He said, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's from Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. Now, I could sit here and toot the horn with everyone else on the current church system. We could have a good laugh together, celebrate the fact that we know Jesus, and we're on the winning side, amen. But gang, there is something not right throughout so much of what Christianity has become. Now let's just halt there for a minute, and let me say this. Some of you, or all of you, at times at least, have suspected that something wasn't quite right. It all seemed a bit plastic, and perhaps phony, but you couldn't quite put your finger on it. Well, guess what? I'm putting my finger on it here, and hopefully you have ears to hear. When you see the power of God go bye-bye on so many fronts, souls not being saved, pastors and churches in competition with one another for their loyal patrons, young people dropping out in record numbers, at least in the Western church, prayerlessness prevailing, towns going to hell in a handbasket where the church exists, etc., etc., it's time to start talking about what's going on. And yours truly is. This is not a matter of buy my next book or come to a conference. There is something not right, and I don't think it takes great insight to see. It's really not that hard to recognize. It's just that we have become so blind to it all through playing footsies with this mess for centuries. We don't see it, and people, especially pastors, are extremely reluctant to go there. We are vested in this thing, ladies and gentlemen. We have come to love it. And we don't want anyone to spoil our party. But guess what? I have the delightful job of spoiling the party and popping the balloons. Oh, yes, I do. And it's such a joy, right? No, it isn't. People don't like somebody like me. They like someone who plays the game, blows the fluty horn. We like a Jesus who caters to our personal self-serving theology as of one sort or another, and since the church is so divided up and fractured, no one can say anything about it because we just reject it anyway. We just pull out the division card and say, well, that's your opinion, not mine, and go right back to business as usual, which we have been doing for hundreds of years. Are you following me, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody's been messing with us, and I guarantee you it hasn't been Jesus. It's been our enemy. So the point is, we left New Testament, New Covenant Christianity shortly after the first century in the form of what became Roman Catholicism and that part of it that split off in 1054 and became what is now called the Greek Orthodox churches in the East. But understand this clearly. Whatever they were called and whatever they became, they were an absolute departure from New Testament Christianity founded by our Savior. The true church had gone underground all that time. And then came Martin Luther and the Reformation of 1517. God was extending the church another opportunity to come back to the New Testament pattern, or should we say plan, and get it right. But the Reformation, which God sent, soon became Protestantism. Man stuck his label on another move of God and quickly undermined it with another mess, the mess of division. Catholicism brought in idolatry and false doctrine. Protestantism brought in division and false doctrine. And we Protestants have catered to those divisions ever since. Like I said earlier, this was the second great departure from the New Testament. We have got to quit catering to the labels of man and start lining up to God's label. We are Christians. We are kingdom. Jesus was not a Protestant, and Jesus wasn't a Catholic. He was the Son of God who came from heaven to implement a kingdom, not a denomination. The apostles were not Protestant. They were not Catholic either. They were kingdom-minded Christians. Can we get a hold of this? Can we grasp this? Is this too difficult for all of you out there? Just because something has been around for so many years doesn't mean it's right. Okay, everybody, take a deep breath, breathe it out, and let's move on. Put it this way, folks. Put it this way. And this is one of those hard things that I'm going to say. Christianity has been largely apostate ever since the end of the first century, and we wonder where God is. Hold it. Hold it. God is wondering where we are. He's saying, "Where are you, Adam?" God never left his post, which is centered in the Word of God. We left it. So why aren't we seeing the things that happened in the New Testament under Jesus and then his apostles? Why do we hardly ever see those things happen anymore? Well, there's your answer. Like I say, this is not rocket science. It's really not that hard to see. It's just that we are inside the problem, trying to see out. Let me repeat that. It's just that we are inside the problem, trying to see out. And that's pretty hard to do, folks, since we are engulfed with it. Please, please stop a minute and ask yourself this question. Why do we hardly ever see these things we read about in the New Testament happen anymore? People who believe that these things should still be happening have gone around in circles trying to figure out why they are so rare. But here's the problem. People are running to conferences, special guest speakers, buying books, CDs that all tell you how to do it, all claiming to have that special method. They're on the inside track, and they're going to get you there too for the right price. But guess what? You can't squeeze honey out of mud. God is not going to abridge his covenant to favor our favorite programs or methods. He established that covenant at the greatest price that ever could be paid, the sacrifice of his own son. Quit insulting him, you gurus out there that want to pander your wares. God will not be mocked, and I would back off if I was you. So that's the problem. We don't think outside the box. We look for the solution within the boundaries of the problem. And the problem is the church system that we have embraced, whether it be Catholic or whether it be Protestant. Those are the very systems that have got us where we are. They got us off the tracks. It doesn't matter how much obedience to God we try to squeeze out of those systems or into them. They are rooted in rebellion against God and his ways because they are man-made. Can we receive this? I know it's different. I know it is probably way different from perhaps anything you've heard before, but gang, we have been trying to get power and relevance out of systems that can't produce it. They can't contain it. It's not there. The stem was pulled out and all the air went out. It really reminds me of what the religious elites were trying to do with Jesus' words and works in the first century. They were somehow trying to make sense out of it from their legalistic, dead religious point of views, and it just didn't fit. Jesus summed the problem up to them with one of the most famous parables in the New Testament, the parable of the old and new wineskin. He said, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." These guys were trying to fit Jesus' system into theirs, and it just didn't fit. Jesus was bringing in the ministry of the Spirit and faith, and they were trying to reconcile it with their system of law and legalism, and there was no way the two would mesh. And here we are again, people, doing the same thing they were doing all over again. We are trying to fit New Testament power and fruitfulness into non-New Testament systems of man that are what we were left with after the church's departure from the New Testament, i.e., Catholicism and then Protestantism. Can you handle that? I ask again, can you all see this? Isn't it interesting, at least when you can see it, isn't it interesting how quickly the devil is able to corrupt what God does and move it in a direction that shuts us down? Isn't it interesting how quickly God's people fall into his trap and play his game? Anyway, We have left the covenant, folks. We are going it on our own. We've embraced religion and not true Christianity. Whether you're talking about Roman Catholicism, Greek Orthodoxy, or Protestantism, we have left the faith and have embraced post-apostolic remakes and trying various revamps of Catholicism or Protestantism doesn't deal with the central problem. They are not kingdom. They are not apostolic. They are not what Jesus introduced. They are apostate. Immense word there. And when you're apostate, you're not going to see the things that you will see when you are covenant, when you are kingdom-minded. God told Israel in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Obedience, obedience, obedience to the Word of God is what we are called to, not our own religious take on it. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." That's Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. I know. Seeing what I'm talking about is practically impossible after 500 years of justifying all this stuff. But like I say, the time has come. Can we get a hold of this? The more free you are from walls, personal pulpits, personal agendas, and all the insecurities and sins that go with such things, the more apt you are to hear me. Friends, we are about to enter the greatest time of reformation and revival the world has ever seen since the New Testament. Why? Because we have gone about 1,923 years catering to the devil's lies. You heard me right on that. We've gone about 1,923 years catering to the devil's lies. And but for a few times in the history of the church when we've had revivals from heaven, we have been off the path. Man just wants to be a somebody. Man wants to get his name in the mix, up in lights. He wants money, recognition, a big following, and all the bennies that go with it. Oh, yes, he does. And the devil knows how to cater to such vanities and undermine us. And so he has. But here's the deal. It's getting far too late in the game for man to mess up again. So this time around, ladies and gentlemen, God is going to step in himself and clear up this mess for those who are willing to go there. You got it. God is going to step in. He does this every now and then in history, and he's about to do it again. The scripture says, "For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury, it sustained me." That's in Isaiah 63, verses 4 through 5. He is not going to allow man to mess this one up as they have in the past, and we are either going to come on board with it or we don't. There won't be years to go astray again. There won't be a chance to mess this one up and focus it on man. Oh, no, not this time around. Everyone, please, please, please start thinking outside the box. Don't play the churchy religious game. We are meant to have the very same Christianity we read about in the book of Acts. Seek God for it. Look for it. And don't be the devil's or man's pansy. This change is coming soon, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Okay, time to go, everyone. For John, our broadcast supervisor, Connor, our technical man extraordinaire, Snoops, my favorite dog. Hey, Snoops, say goodbye. That's my pooch. And lastly, from me, Luther Cannon, your host, we'll be back with you soon. God bless you all.